Hello and welcome to another episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations podcast, or ABC's podcast. I am your host, Adrienne Lusa, and today I'm joined by two wonderful guests from the biotech company called Sawubona Mycelium. It's husband and wife power couple, Busi and Neil Molloy. Thank you guys for joining me and welcome.
Thanks, Mary.
Great stuff. So a bit of background about Sawubona Mycelium. Sawubona Mycelium is located in Centurion in Gauteng Province, South Africa. And it's a biotech company operating a fermentation-based platform that manufactures bio-based ingredients and extracts that are derived from mushroom mycelium for applications in the cosmetics, pharmaceutical, food, and beverage industries. And leaders of this company, as I mentioned, husband and wife couple, Busi and Neil. So Busi is currently serving as the CEO, and her husband is the chief business officer. Busi is a seasoned fermentation specialist and production manager, and she used to work in the food and beverage sector. She gained a lot of experience in that time and also qualified as a master brewer, geneticist, and trained as a biotechnologist in her earlier career. She has also completed recently an MBA with Henley Business School. And Neil is mainly in lean manufacturing, specializing in applying continuous process improvement principles. He has also worked as a fermentation specialist at one of the large corporates where he also worked as manufacturing development specialist, and these skills he applies in their business. So I have a first question, which is directed to Neil. Neil, tell me, how is it like to be married to the CEO and a biotechnologist? And how is the home dynamics like?
Thank you for the question. So I think it's an interesting question, but for me, I find it's easy, you know, because I think the relationship comes from afar. So we've known each other for quite a while from university. We studied together and we did biotech together and we worked in the biotech industry together. So, you know, so we'd come home and we would talk home stuff and we'd talk biotech or fermentation stuff. So that is, I think, we managed to work with those dynamics of working as a husband and wife relationship, but also as in a corporate relationship, starting a company together, being the CEO and CBO. So for me, it seems to be working out quite nicely, actually, you know, and it's not affecting the home dynamics. And I think what we do is we try to capitalize on each other's strength, both at work and at home, you know, to be able to push both work and push home as well.
That's fantastic to hear. And you said you met at school. What school was that?
We started the studies together in 1996 at Natal Tech.
Wow, you've come a long way. And congratulations on this new adventure. So tell me, what was it that you guys saw as a gap in the marketplace, or was there a question that came to mind that eventually was answered by the creation of this company?
So it was a curiosity. We started in the day 2007-2008, when I started to run, when I tried to run a sort of a biofuels industry, and we were looking at a sort of a circular model where we could add value to the byproducts of producing bioethanol specifically, or biodiesel sometimes, but in particular bioethanol. You know, and we started to sort of build the cultivation of mushrooms on industrial waste to be able to add value to the business. you know, but fast forward, then came 2018, you know, and we thought, let's capitalize on both our sort of passion and knowledge of what mushrooms can do, you know, for food and for medicine, with our experience in fermentation industry, you know, and both the technical experience and just the experience of working in the industry. So we are then, we saw it as an opportunity to be able to capitalize on fermentation technology and grow mushrooms using that fermentation technology to bring about to market new things.
Okay. That's fantastic. And do you have maybe some examples of products that you make available to these industries via the mushrooms? It's quite an interesting concept.
So we, our first product is a polysaccharide called, it's, this polysaccharide is mainly found in like plants, but you can also find them in, in very high quantities in mushroom. So that's the first product that we are working on. So this beta glucan can be applied in cosmetics. From a health point of view, it has been shown to sugar levels, especially for diabetics. Okay. So it's useful there. And also as a dietary supplement. And in cosmetics, it works to hydrate your skin because it has a properties of retaining water. So it is a moisturizer, very good moisturizing ingredient if ever you formulate it into cosmetics. So to educate the market in South Africa, we are working on formulating a cosmetic product just so that to create awareness that for, especially for the cosmetics market that's very, that's growing in South Africa and Africa as well. Yeah. To say actually you can use other natural ingredients besides the synthetic ones that you find in the industry for your cosmetics, just so that, because a lot of people in South Africa don't know that you can use mushroom derived ingredients in their formulations, unlike overseas where it's well known the properties of mushroom for its medicinal effect as well. So we thought to go about to formulate first and then be able to sell our ingredients as a B2B.
Yeah, no, that's quite a fantastic move, especially knowing the challenges that come with people are trying to rely on getting raw material for you know, industrial production from abroad. Just with the example of the lockdown and travel restrictions that came along with the pandemic, I mean, being able to fill that space, that middle gap is really, really useful. And I hope that other scientists can take heed to your example and can see how to bridge that gap and have a more sustained production right here on the continent. So there's another question that just came to my mind. If you guys had to do this all over again, will you do it in these of the COVID-19 pandemic? Is there something that you would do differently, or would you do it at all in these trying times?
I think if anything, situations like the pandemic has exposed the lack of self-sufficiency in South Africa or Africa as a continent, or even in many other countries as well, because we are so dependent on importing whatever it is that we use, or importing raw materials for us to transform into products locally. So with the situations where the whole world is on lockdown, a lot of companies struggle to get back to on their feet in terms of producing their products because they didn't have a reliable supply chain that you mentioned earlier on. So I think if anything, it's a good time to start it now. And then our work has now been elevated, if I may call it that, to say that companies like us who are actually producing raw materials that the local industry can use is probably what the industry needs right now. And also to secure their continuity into the future, because now they have a reliable source, which is local, and they can rely on that. So that means if we can supply them, that means that business is also not working, you know what I mean? And at least even if something like this happens again, at least we hope it won't. But if it should happen again, the companies will be more prepared because they are procuring.
That's so true. And on the business development side of things, How has the dynamics, I'm addressing this question to Neil, how has the change, the shift in dynamics within the business community affected the development of business? Has it been beneficial throughout, or are there challenges that you see that you can share with us?
Yeah, so just to add on what Busi is saying, so for us, you know, even though it was a struggle to continue with our technical development work throughout the lockdown, what we saw is that we are getting more inquiries and more leads during this time. You know, so there has been, I think, a requirement for companies to localize the source of their ingredients. You know, so as we positioned ourselves initially as a B2B, we have been getting inquiries. So I think from a business development side, so that is a good indicator to say that we can get some opportunity to supply in South Africa and in Africa. I mean, certainly there is a shift that must happen in the sense that mostly companies still do look for import in terms of sourcing their materials. But I think there is quite good leads that we are working on locally that are giving us an opportunity to demonstrate that local South African companies can be able to build technologies and be able to supply local industries with those biomolecules or ingredients that are required in cosmetics and pharma.
I think the challenge then becomes local customers, potential customers, having that confidence that whatever it is that we produce locally is better than or equal to what they are used to in terms of imports. So that building relationship, co-creating, will help us with regards to building that confidence in the local market so that we can start supplying the local market. So that's what those relationships that we're trying to build, to just say, if we work together to create what you want, and we can be able to show that we can be cost competitive as well. Because, I mean, obviously, companies are not just going for quality in terms of balancing costs and the quality of the raw materials that they use. So we believe that using or producing via fermentation, it does actually have that one up of the ability to produce raw materials in a more sustainable way.
Yeah.
And something that then we can bring to the table for the local market. How you use the process to produce the ingredients, because that's a new way of producing this thing. For example, if you were to get this beta glucan from a mushroom, you would have to grow it on a solid state, and it takes long, and you have to crush and extract whatever you want from the mushroom. So with fermentation, because it's a different way of producing the same thing, the time is quicker. And the way of extracting that molecule that you're interested in, it's much more easier than having to do it from a solid state. So the combination of how you use fermentation in a new way for producing this biomolecule is what is the innovation.
I think wow, for us, I mean, we mentioned that our experience is in the fermentation and brewing. So what we are doing, we, you know, capitalizing on our capability of fermentation and knowing about fermentation, because essentially quite similar to what we used to do at the brewer is growing yeast to produce beer. In this sense, we grow the roots of mushroom and we control environment. So if the ability to control the growth and the growth conditions of the roots of mushroom, which we call mycelia, to produce these molecules of interest, but particularly also what we call the downstreaming side of the business or the purification side, for us is where also the innovation lies that gives you the edge in the market.
That's really fantastic. And congratulations, because I recently saw a news or a media post about you guys, the innovation that you're talking about. Is it 800 liters? Is that what I saw? Or was it 8,000 liters?
Yeah, so we had an opportunity to one of the leading software institutions in this country, the CSIR, the BIDC. So we had an opportunity to just demonstrate that we can grow this technology. So with one particular organism, we were able to produce 800 liters. We have the capability to produce with that strain and scale up, or actually even maybe learn from that strain and scale up other strains of interest up to the batches of 800 liters and above. So using the CSIR platform was quite beneficial for us to learn, especially to continue. I mean, what we're doing is that we're doing a lot of our work at the TIA Bioprocessing platform in Durban, where we're running our strains to produce beta-glucan. So it was a really nice sort of handshake for us to be able to demonstrate at a, an organization that is a bigger platform that we are able to scale up our technology. Mm.
Because the next phase for us would be that if we find, or when rather, if when we find customers who need to be able to produce at the levels that they want. So scaling up shows us that actually should, when we get to that point, we will be able to produce that product in a bigger batches.
Fantastic. I see you guys busy working, working really hard. I'm sure that there'll be a flood of customers who are not yet aware, listening to this podcast or learning about you via some other platform or media that will run to you. And so, yeah, you're right. It's
important to stay prepared
and that growth that is coming.
You guys maybe have some lessons learned
from your experience operating a biotech company like yours,
challenges that come, the territory
that you can share, you've experienced and found a way around it. Just to say that one can, you know, operate a successful biotech company right here in Africa.
I think one of the biggest challenges that any biotech company, especially a startup, experiences is that biotech involves a lot of R&D, research and development. So you need somewhere where you can do this work. You also need resources to be able to do this work. So we were fortunate enough to be supported by the Technology Innovation Agency, the platform in Durban, where we're doing our R&D work. So they afforded us the space, the resources in terms of interns and so forth, and also to get this material that we're using now for formulation in terms of getting us prepared for the market. So that's one of the issues, because if you don't have those platforms, the other alternative is having to associate with a university where you can be able to do that work. So that's one of the challenges. The other one is obviously around, which is obviously not just for biotech, but for other businesses as well. But with biotech, because the money is a lot of money and the time is a lot of time for you to come to a point where you are able to get a product out to the market. So you need a lot of money initially. So fortunately for us, we were able to start up with our own money, but we've also been able to receive grant money from TIA, from the Innovation Hub, as well as CEDA, where they help us in terms of our developmental work to also be able to afford young research scientists for us to be able to work with to help us to get to where we are. So a lot of biotech companies obviously don't know where to get this funding, especially the funding that's appropriate to the stage of the business. So it's very useful to go out there and research and get information in terms of, if I'm at this stage of my development for my business, then I can be able to go to these areas and those areas to get funding.
I think I can add on that as well. I think certainly it's important to have all the technical skills that is required to deliver on a project. But from a business development side, you know, for me, what I've learned is that it's important to make the circle bigger. You know, so collaboration is key, and also having a wide network, because in that network, you can tap into different resources that can help you with different aspects of actually starting and growing a business. You know, all the way from understanding the sources of funding to understanding the software contract laboratories that you can use to be able to do some analysis, the legal opinions, financial support. So I think it's important as a startup, from what we've learned, it's important to sort of make the circle bigger. It's important to build that network, because you can allow the network to help you move forward.
I think going with that as well is, in support of the network, is to research whatever skills or whatever resources that you're lacking, to research who else in the space can be able to help you. Because there are a lot of ecosystems that are available, both in Gauteng, Cape Town, or the Western Cape, that has biotech startups growing and support each other like that in terms of getting resources.
Based on what we've learned, is that as biotechnologists or as scientists, often, you know, love the idea, the scientific idea of what you're trying to build. You know, but we can just share with startups in this country that the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition has got nice facilities where you are able to get access to very good import and export market data. So I would encourage all the startups just really try to dissect and understand the size of the market locally in terms of what we're trying to sell. So you can understand how much competition we have. You can understand how big the industry you're going into in this country. So there's something called HS code. You know, if you can be able to maybe Google the HS code of that particular product, that particular ingredient that you're trying to produce and get data in terms of volume and red value of how big that market is in South Africa.
That is very useful advice. Thank you for being a very gracious in sharing. From your lessons learned as well, can you maybe tell us what one or two skills you found were most valuable in being an entrepreneur, or specifically a biotech entrepreneur in Africa? And how do you guys cultivate this skill?
I think the biggest one is, especially for biotech and entrepreneurs, is that they are mainly scientists. So they know the science, they know the technical aspect of whatever it is that they are producing. But what they lack is the business side of things, because I mean, being in biotech, there's a lot of intricacies that are involved. You have to consider IP landscape, you have to consider marketing, you have to consider market research, which is stuff that we don't learn when we're learning our trade. So you kind of like have to cultivate those skills. So if you don't have qualifications of the pertaining to that skills, you have to learn them. And learning them means you have to expose yourself to such activities. You have to align yourself with people who are in the know with regards to those subjects. So we found that we kind of like have to be like jack of all trades. You know, we are fortunate between the two of us, we have different skills that complement each other. I have science. We both have science. Yeah. I have business skills. And Neo has business development skills. He also has IP knowledge. So that helps us in terms of integrating. So between the two of us, whatever else that's lacking, then that's where we needed to go out and find people who are knowledgeable in those skills that we're learning, so that we can have a holistic view of running a business or of developing a high-tech business.
Yeah.
Anything I can add to add as well. I mean, I can add to that. I can encourage sort of entrepreneurs, what I've learned and what I try to do is, so don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call. To don't be afraid to knock at those doors, because you might find the right door that is going to open many other doors for you. So I think people maybe get spooked out by the concept of calling. Just look up someone, call. Look up someone on LinkedIn, connect it to a person, follow the connection. Yeah. This concept of calling, I think it's a skill. And to use it, to pick up the phone and call and generate those leads, generate those contacts, because it's what might help you to build your business.
Something came to mind now is that because all the biotech startups know the challenges that they've experienced or be differently anyway. So if you call one and they can help you, they at least give you another person who they think might be able to help. And that's how you grow your network as well, and how you are able to access education that or information that you wouldn't have otherwise obtained had you done probably desktop research. So it's very good to reach out via whatever network you're able to get through.
It sounds to me that your business has basically grown on the back of a lot of relationship management, be it with the state agencies, the CSIR. So there's been a lot of people playing or supporting you, and to your point, Paul, to get all of that input and that help and support, you need to reach out. You need to make people know who you are or know what you're trying to achieve. So there is help out there. It's just a matter of you opening up and going out there. And yes, as a scientist myself, I know that is not one of our strengths. So it is a skill that one has to learn. Neo, how do you suggest one does that in practical terms? Is it a question of, do you learn on the job, or is there something small that you can do every day to, open up that aspect of being able to talk to strangers, because basically people start off as strangers before they become contacts and then who knows, business partners.
Yeah, so to be honest, it's not easy, you know. I can't sort of take it for granted and say, you know, it comes natural to all of us. I think practically, I think I would say the best thing to do is to pick up the phone, you know, pick up the phone and call, you know. So I think because with that you will get rejections, you will get regrets, which could sort of push people back into their corners. But you also get those aha moments, you know, so those ones can encourage you and give you that strength or that courage to make the next call and next call. So I think I would say it's learning through by actually doing. You know, so. Certainly, there is also maybe a suggestion I could make, which is a suggestion of coaching. You know, so we go through a lot of scientific training, and we go through a lot of experimentation in the lab. So you know how to use a microscope, you know how to do this because we practice it. So I would encourage that. I mean, as a valuable skill, as a critical thing, if really it becomes a really scary thing to do, a limiting thing, maybe seek out sort of coaching. So there's a also nice programs that TIA runs, that the Innovation Hub runs, which is a sort of accelerator program that take you through a chain of maybe starting a business. So I would encourage many people to also look out for those opportunities and participate, because in there you learn some of the skills of how to pitch, how to talk to people. So maybe then it can help up-and-coming scientists who are starting businesses to sort of open up some more.
I wanted to add as well that, like, me and Neo work differently, so he likes actually calling to talk to people directly. And for people, like, the phone is that I use my way of doing things would be to reach out via LinkedIn, to reach out via emails if I get the emails, to reach out via WhatsApp. That helped me a lot, and that's how I also made my own contacts as well. For me to be able to reach out to all my participants in my NBA, those ones I interviewed, I actually found most of them, if not all of them, via LinkedIn. I just reached out like that. So and then they also connected me with other people that are contacted like that. So those are the ways, and then people must just find a happy medium for themselves, which one it is.
We are in 2021, and there are people that do not network outside of the university or, you know, their department. It baffles me. So thank you for that advice, because
it's a lifesaver.
Being in sales myself, being in the corporate world, or making the transition from academia to the corporate world, people want to do it, they wonder how it's done, but you guys have broken it down.
I can just add one more thing, you know, and without maybe scaring the you want to be biotech startups. You know, I think reality check is that it's not easy. So I think it's something that people need to appreciate as well. So it's not a straightforward thing that you wake up and start a biotech business. The thing that I would like to encourage people is that to keep going, you know, because time is sort of, it's going to be on your side. If you believe in something and you work on it, you know, what we see in this country is also that there are VC firms, you know, that are starting to pay interest into biotech, you know. So yes, there's government institutions that can support you. We're starting to see venture capitalists that are now seeking out biotech startups and seeking out to invest in biotech. So I think if you keep on going, it might also be a chance that you might maybe interest or might come across some of these VC companies, and you might be able to attract much needed investment from such institutions.
Fantastic. Neo and Busi Moloi of Sawubona Mycelium. I'm Adrienne Lusser.